was hardly preparation for running a huge American television operation. There was dead silence in the room after Eisner spoke. Finally, Rob Moore, the studio's chief financial officer, asked, "What does this mean for the rest of us, that you're bringing in a complete outsider?" Eisner gave Moore a cold, piercing gaze and didn't answer. Johnson thought Moore had just destroyed his career at Disney. Johnson promptly called his former boss, Bill Mechanic, now at Fox, told him Eisner had just named Hightower to Frank's job, and asked if Mechanic would give him a job. "You're pulling my chain," Mechanic said. "Not even Michael could make a mistake that big." Frank wasn't consulted on his replacement, and Eisner used the occasion to take a swipe in the press at Frank for harboring ambitions to replace Katzenberg, saying that, "Now at least we have an enthusiastic executive in the job. Dennis is excited to be running TV. He's not disappointed to not be running movies," Eisner told Fortune magazine. "As for Hightower's other attributes, Dennis Hightower is a very smart man," Eisner said, adding, "He's very experienced in sitting down with our partners in Luxembourg and Taiwan." As an African-American, Hightower also brought welcome diversity to the top executive ranks. Even more startling, Eisner put Chief Financial Officer Richard Nanula in charge of the Disney stores. Nanula was understandably startled and dismayed to give up a top corporate post to run a chain of retail stores, and considered it a demotion. But Eisner assured him he needed operational experience, and that this will help you in the future, not hold you back. Moving Nanula created an opening for Stephen Bolenbach, another Marriott executive introduced to Eisner by Gary Wilson, as Chief Financial Officer for Donald Trump. As Chief Financial Officer for Donald Trump, Bolenbach had helped rescue the New York developer from near bankruptcy and was now Chief Executive of Host Marriott, a spin-off of the Marriott Corporation. Eisner was well aware that Bolenbach wouldn't give up a Chief Executive position unless he was Eisner's designated successor, something Wilson had also stressed. So he assured Bolenbach that, if things worked out, he would succeed Wells as president, and agreed that Bolenbach would report directly to Eisner. But the contract didn't guarantee that Bolenbach wouldn't report to someone else, only that if he did, he would be granted an additional 150,000 Disney shares. On those terms, Bolenbach accepted the offer, even though Eisner later conceded. That he never actually considered Bolenbach a likely successor. Given his lack of experience in entertainment and his limited interest in the creative side of our business, I doubted that would ever happen. Eisner also testified that he told Bolenbach he would never be president, but this is inconsistent with Bolenbach's statements at the time. In his later testimony, Bolenbach said he hoped Eisner would name him president eventually. Indeed, even as he was recruiting Bolenbach, Eisner resumed his courtship of Ovitz. Eisner's interest was reignited by reports that Ovitz was in serious discussions with Edgar Bronfman Jr. to run Universal, which had just been acquired by Seagram, the distilling company controlled by the Bronfman family. To Eisner, Universal posed a unique competitive threat, largely because it had a rival theme park, Universal Studios, adjacent